All right, praise the Lord. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to share your word with these, your people today. I thank you that revelation knowledge is one freely, unhindered, unrestricted by satanic forces or demonic entrances. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Speak to my mind. Think through my vocal cords. You know the needs of your people today, not I. Amen. So, as you see, we're going to talk about keys to effective prayer. This is part one. Talking about building a prayer life through relationship and fellowship. So let's get started. All righty. Keys to Effective Prayer Life, Part One. This is Section One, and it'll only be one section tonight. I'm going to break each section, do each section separately.
Okay.
So I'll be back on Sunday for Section Two. But anyway, we're going to talk about the simplicity of prayer. Effective and successful prayer is based on love through relationship and fellowship with our Heavenly Father. It is based on love. Okay? So knowing that God loves you is critical to having confidence to receive answers to your prayers. In 1 John 3, 1, it reads, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called what? The children of God." So, as born again believers, we talk to God as his child. He listens to us as our loving father who cares for us and longs to help us. God always has our best interests at heart. He's always willing to get involved in our lives. In fact, that's what he wants to do. He wants to be involved in every area of our life. And so, when you understand this will take you from church as usual through some religious thing that you do to appease God. He's already pleased with you. He loves you. You believe in his son, Jesus Christ. He loves everybody. Even if they don't believe in Jesus, God loves them. But he wants you to receive Jesus so that he can lavish his love upon you legally. Oh, that's good teaching right there. Legally. He legally can't bless you until you receive his son, Jesus, as your Lord and Savior, till you get redeemed by his blood, and it brings you back into a relationship with him. All right? So now I want to show you this in a book of in Matthew 6, 5 through 6. We're going to read that, and I want to show you and how Jesus introduced relationship and fellowship. You know, that's really what put him on the cross. He introduced himself as the Son of God and the Messiah. And when we give our life to Jesus Christ, we are born again, born of God's Spirit. You know, we're just as much God's children, a son of God, as Jesus is. And when you get to understanding that, you get past all the religious things of that people go through in church. But anyway, let's go ahead and look at Matthew 5. That should be 5. Yeah, 5 through 6 is what we're going to look at. It says, "And when you pray," this is Jesus talking. He says, "When you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites." He says, "For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Surely I say to you that they have their reward. When you pray," he says, "go into your house, go into your room." Praise the Lord, go into your room. He says, shut the door
He
behind
says,
you,
go into your
right?
house.
Yeah, shut the
Go into
door
your house.
behind you. Pray to your father who is where? In secret. He's in the secret place. And your father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So he's saying clearly that he wants us to pray to him in secret. So everybody shouldn't really know your prayers. You know, your prayers are personal. It's between you and your Heavenly Father. So this is going to be a good teaching today because it's really going to get answers to your prayers when you understand really how to pray to Him properly. All righty. So now, I want you to notice in Matthew 6, 5 through 6, where he says what Jesus is doing is he was correcting public performance-based prayer. That's what he was dealing with. And I remember growing up in church. I'm not trying to talk about anyone or tearing one down, but I remember we grew up in church, and you know, Deacon so-and-so prayed and it seemed like a performance. And everybody liked the way they prayed, you know, but were they really praying or were they performing? Some people were praying from their heart. They were doing what they thought was best. But in the end, a lot of the audience people liked the way Deacon so-and-so prayed. We really like what he prayed. Oh, man, that's a good prayer. You know, but did you really understand what he was praying, or was it just performance? It just you just liked the way he sounded when he prayed. So we got to be careful that we don't get into that performance-based praying. Prayer is not a performance. It's from your heart. So he was contrasting public display versus private sincerity. Being seen by people versus being seen by the Father. I mean, we got to understand a lot of it was showmanship. A lot of people still go to church for the showmanship of it. You know, oh, that was good. Reverend did a good job. Man, you ain't getting nothing if you ain't really in this word to get your heart to change, transform. Anyway, so he was talking about performance versus relationship. We have a relationship with the Father. So you ain't got to put on and have no performance. So prayer is simple. It's a child, a son or daughter talking to their loving, caring parent. So God likens himself as our Father. He is our Father. So we are to talk to him. And that's all prayer is just communicating with God. It's just talking to the Father. Where? From our heart. It's real simple. Simplicity, man, just goes a long way. So let's look back at Matthew 6, verse 7. It says, and when you pray, he says, do not use vain repetition as the heathen do. For they think that they will be heard by their many words. In other words, my interpretation is you're talking too much. You're complicating this thing. You know, I remember when I would pray and, you know, I'm sitting there trying to figure out what I must say to say all the right things to get God to move. You've done it. I've done it. Everyone's done it. Well, maybe if I say this and I say that. So I'm trying to figure out what to say to God to get God to move. So I wasn't really praying from my heart. I was intellectually trying to figure out what I need to say to move God. Where did I get that kind of foolishness from? Well, when I grew up, I saw that's the way people pray. And I figured I have to string together a lot of pretty words, pretty speech, things that sound good. That's not praying. Verse 8 says, therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows. Here's the secret. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask. So he's implying that you need to ask for what you need. He already got it. He's waiting on you to ask so he can give it to you. That's what he's really getting at here. So Jesus is saying you don't need long, drawn out prayers. He's telling us to get straight to the point. Say what you mean and mean what you say. Is that making sense to you? This is the simplicity of prayer. Just tell God how you feel. Tell God what you want. And be detailed about it. Get straight to the point. You don't need long, drawn out prayers. That's not prayer. That's works. You're trying to figure out what you got to say to get God to move. And God's like, you're not praying from your heart. The effectual fervent prayer availeth much. You got to pray from your heart. Mm-hmm. You got to mean what you say and say what you mean. And that's where effective prayer begins. All righty. Again, I want us to continue to look at how, you know, Jesus was basically introducing relationship and fellowship. See, we have a relationship. Relationship is we're born again. As newborn again believers, we are born of his spirit. So we have a relationship with God. I said it earlier, I'll say it again. We're just as much a son of God, our daughter of God, born of the spirit of Jesus was. Now that'll fry some people's noodles because they got their religious noodle. It's the truth. God hears you just like he hears Jesus. All right, Jesus' prayers get answers. Your prayers get answers when you ask in Jesus' name. It's not rocket science. So Jesus is stressing that our Heavenly Father already knows what we have need of. The Father is simply waiting on us to ask him for what we need. This is very important when it comes to prayer. This means he cannot give it to us until we ask him for it. Jesus said, you have not. No, I mean, in the book of, was it James? It says, you have not because you ask not. Jesus also said in the word, he said, ask that your joy may be filled. In fact, I'm going to get my Bible on this. I didn't bring my word. I get it. I just want to read this. This is really good stuff here. Jesus, you know, wants us to ask God for what he has provided for us. That's what we ask God. We ask God, Lord, you ask God for Jesus. Lord, I want Jesus. I want you to give me what Jesus has provided for me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we must ask that our joy may be filled. So if you want your joy fulfilled, you ask God. All righty. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, says that I will do. Ooh, that's a good part of the prayer. So, let me continue on here. Faith cannot operate effective in prayer unless you are convinced that God loves you. This is so important.
Yes, it is.
And genuinely desires to bless you. Your faith won't work. You will never get an answer to your prayer. The devil will talk you out of your prayer every single time. I know God's going to give it to me. Why? Because he loves me. And I know what to ask him for. Always asking for my benefits in Christ Jesus. I ask him for what the blood has purchased for me. And I get it. And you will get it too. Prayer is simply talking to God, your Heavenly Father, from your heart. Prayer is heartfelt, sincere, and personal. Now this is important. What I have highlighted there are in bold. Within the framework of his promises in Christ. It has to be within the framework of his promises in Christ. I'll say that again. Our prayers must be in the framework of his promises in Christ. That means it has to be based on what Jesus has done for us. And you're guaranteed to get it. You are guaranteed to get it. Why? Because Jesus died to provide it for you. His blood has provided the benefits of your salvation. So you have to open up your heart to the Father who already knows you. He knows you. He loves you. He knows what you like. He knows what you don't like. And he welcomes you, and he will answer your prayers. He will answer your prayers. Because he loves you. And that's his heart's desire. So anyway, this is we're going to really talk about this for a minute. And I just want to lay this foundation about the simplicity of it. It's just talking to him from your heart. Don't even complicate this thing. Don't ever complicate the simplicity of the gospel. Okay? Don't complicate prayer. Specifically, in this prayer that I'm talking about tonight, is prayer for your personal desires. And I need to say this because the Lord, you know, put this in my heart to say this. You have people that seek God in prayer for ministry, because I know people in ministry listen to me. You have to understand that Your ministry prayers and prayers for the ministry is separate from your personal. Ministry is what God wants. Your personal is what you desire. People have asked me, you know, what is your desire? What is your desire? What is your desire for the ministry? And I tell them, and I think it just blows their mind when I say it. I have no personal desire when it comes to the ministry. Well, how can you not have a personal desire? I didn't call myself. When I go to work, I get a job assignment. They tell me what to do. What's your personal desire? To do the job that they asked me to do. That's it. That's all. I'm there to do a job. And so as a man of God, I'm here to do a job. God tells me what he wants to do. He tells me. So it's a very imperative. It's very important that you don't commingle your desires with the desires of God's work. So I want to emphasize that, because a lot of folks get in trouble, and that's why they get upset about stuff that's going on in church that ain't happening. They begin to do things that God ain't told them to do, and then they put pressure on people. I don't have to put pressure on people. No, don't get me wrong. I love people. I have family and stuff like that. Because we believe in Jesus together, of course, you know, we're supposed to fellowship together. But putting pressure on people, that's crazy. That's crazy. You don't ever put people, and you're going to put pressure on people when you're doing what you want to do. So your prayers are personal. So the prayers, again, I'm talking about tonight, and I'm going to be talking about in this particular lesson series we're doing, is your personal prayers. Your personal. Because if you can't believe your personal prayers and desires answered, you won't be able to understand, or you won't be able to believe for what God tells you to pray. Man, I don't want to get too advanced here for you. I'm not going to get it too advanced for you. I just throw this nugget out there. God will tell you to pray things for him and to believe things for him. But you have to learn how to believe things for yourself first before you can believe the bigger things that he asks you to do when it comes to ministry. And again, it's separate. So now let's continue on. In Psalm 17, 6 through 9, it says, I have called you. Look what he says here. I have called you. Somebody's called the Lord. For you will hear me. O God, look what he says here. Incline your ears to me and hear my speech. Verse 7 says, show your marvelous. Look at this. Look at number 7. Verse number 7. Show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand. Did you see that? Show your loving kindness, your marvelous. I like that, man. Marvelous loving kindness. See, that's how you pray to God. Show me your love. That thing. Lord, manifest your love to me. Show me your loving kindness by your right hand. Oh, you who save those who trust in you from those who rise up against me. Sound like he had some little problems in his life. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Look at that. Look at that. Keep me as the apple of your eye. See what I'm saying? See the relationship side of this prayer here? The apple. That word apple means pupil. The pupil of your eye. Someone tried to get close to your pupil. What you going to do? You would knock it down. You would knock someone. You know what I'm saying? What he's saying is the enemies after me are I'm struggling with a problem. Keep me as the apple of your, deal with this, knock that thing down, cause things to happen from heaven here on the earth for me, to protect me. That's his love. Love protects. Love provides.
Amen.
Israel understood that God was their protector and provider, provided they continued to live within the boundaries of his good, loving goodness and kindness by not living in sin. They were a particular nation unto God. And how could this little puny nation beat several nations at one time? Because God was their protector. He was lovingly protecting and taking care of them. And he still does it today for his children. He provides. You know, God's not a deadbeat dad.
No, he's not.
Huh? Remember? God's not a deadbeat dad. Mm-hmm. And he takes care of his children. Mm-hmm. He pay his child support.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He take care of his children. He take care of his children. Yeah, last one of them. If you let him. That's right. He'll take care of you if you let him. So he says in verse 8, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadows of your wing. Oh, glory be to God. Look, from the wicked who oppress me, from my deadly enemies who surround me. Look at verse 8 in the Amplified. It says, keep me in your affectionate care. Do you see the relationship side here and fellowship side in prayer? This is the prayer. See, this is how you pray. Pull on his heartstrings of love for you. Pull on the heartstring of his goodness. Pull on the heartstrings of his mercy. He said he's a merciful God. Jesus said that had you known what mercy was. The Pharisees and the Sadducees didn't understand the merciful side of God. Go learn what mercy means. He pities us as a father pities a child. That's how you get your prayers answered. Oh, I done messed up my finances. Well, don't go get beat up about the thing. Just say, Lord, help me.
Yes.
Just say, Lord, help me. I repent. Repent me. I change my ways. Mm-hmm. Get wisdom. Lord, give me wisdom on how to manage my finances. Give me wisdom. You see what I'm saying? See what I'm saying? Don't go around getting all condemned because you made a problem in your past. He'll help you. That's what grace and mercy is for. He loves you. Anyone that's a parent, man, we've got children that made mistakes. Well, did you learn from them? Well, come on, let me help you out this problem.
Amen.
It's just the truth. So keep me in your affectionate care. Protect me as the apple of your eye. Glory to God. Look at 1 Peter 5:7 in the Amplified. It says, cast all your cares upon him. Look what he says. All your anxieties. Refuse to walk in anxiety, stress. You're too blessed to be stressed. Cast all those cares upon the Lord. He says, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns. Look what he says. What the word says. Once and for all. Once and for all. And don't pick them back up. On him. It says, for he cares for you with deep affection and watches over you carefully. God's watching over you. God's watching over you. See, that's the relationship side of God. He cares about you. And if you don't believe he cares about you, you're going to walk around in condemnation, guilt, and shame. See, we came to God so he can take care of us and help us. That's what salvation is all about. Help me out my mess. See, and his job is to bless our mess because he loves us. Did you learn from it? Yeah, Lord, I was being a dum-dum. I was a dum-dum. He'll give you a new liver. Why? I was being a dum-dum. I was being a dum-dum. I was sinning against myself. See how simple that thing is? Why? Because he loved me. Because he loves you. He heals you because he loves you. All right, let's continue on. So I want to look at Hannah. We're going to be done here in a minute. I wasn't going to be long today. Let's look at Hannah in 1 Samuel as an example of how God responds to heartfelt, sincere prayer. Hannah was unable to have a child and deeply grieved, poured out her heart before the Lord. In her anguish, she made a vow. If God will give her a son, she would dedicate him to the Lord all the days of her life. You know, sometimes you just got to ask God for mercy and say, Lord, if you help me, I will, if you help me, I'll straighten up and I'll walk right. Glory to God. And you got to understand what this thing means. Lord, help me. I need help. Help! And he'll help you. Why? Because he loves you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus, that whosoever believeth in Jesus shall not perish. So why sit in your problem struggling? Say, I messed up. I didn't listen. I did something wrong. God, have mercy on me. I come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain what?
Mercy.
And find what? Help in the time of need. He's there for you. And he hopes you learn your lesson. And if you learn your lesson, all is well. If not, well, what tell you, man? So in 1 Samuel 1, 12 through 14, we're going to read that. It says, and it happened as she continued prayer before the Lord. So she was at the temple praying before the Lord because she was grieved. She couldn't have a child. And so Eli watched her mouth. And look at verse 13. It says, now Hannah spoke in her what?
Heart.
I want you to see that. She spoke in her heart, not her head. She didn't try to get some intellectual prayer together and try to impress people. And, you know, no. She prayed from her heart. Look, it says only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. So she spoke with inside of herself.
Yes.
Well, man, that how you talk to God? Yeah, this is the secret. This is the secret. This is the foundational secret to successful prayer. Talking to God with inside yourself. I just thought this came to me when the Lord told us to reignite the torch of FIJCC of this fellowship. Oh, God, you know, are you sure you're asking me to do this? You know, I was driving down the street and I just started talking to him down on the inside of me while I'm driving. I looked over and I see this little building over there. I said, well, Lord, if you really want me to start, so I would like something like this. You know, I mean, I guess that was my fleece. So we started down in Cincinnati. You know, things happened where we had to leave that facility. And I didn't know where we was going to go. I don't know where we're going to go. You know, so I'm out talking to someone and I felt led. I felt the Lord prompted me to ask them if they knew of any place that we could go to house, you know, the fellowship we had just reignited and started. And, you know, he gave me a number about a gentleman by the name of Paul. I said, oh, Paul, OK, I don't know who he was. So I called the number and he gave me the address. And it's the same building that I looked at when he asked me to leave where I was at and go start this fellowship. I didn't want to leave. I said, I didn't want to leave. I was happy. You understand what I'm saying? Well, okay. Well, that's all I needed. I didn't know the man from Adam. The point I'm trying to make is I spoke to God in my heart. And he arranged and rearranged things and caused things to happen. And bam, we're right here. So now, oh, okay, Lord. Most of the things that God has blessed me with, I mean, really, and we're going to get into something today, is I just simply talked to him in my heart about it. I remember I got a job when I was working with Cincinnati Bell before I got there. I remember seeing a commercial on TV. And I just was like, man, one day I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I would love to work for them. That's all I said. I would love to work for them. And you know what? I was doing something else and, you know, working as a contractor for the cable company. And I got frustrated. I was passed over by promotions and stuff like that. And I was really frustrated about it. And I just was, you know, I was like, man, I'm done. You know, and I was getting ready to move to Atlanta. We was getting ready to move to Atlanta. I was like, I'm out of here. Like, you know, talked to my dad who lives down there. I was getting ready to, you know, move down there and transfer and signing up to work for Cascom or whoever was down there. Well, anyway, it was a good friend of mine that, you know, I was telling him about it. He was like, well, man, I need to tell you about this company. So he told me about the company, and it was a contractor company for Cincinnati Bell. And so I got on with the contractor, and, you know, it was beautiful. He says, you know, he says, we believe that people that work hard, you know, should have beautiful automobiles, toys. They said toys, you know, boats and motorcycles. And I said, oh, yeah. So, you know, we broke that tier level, that glass ceiling. Long story short, you know, they wound up changing some things. And then I wound up going in-house for Cincinnati Bell. So that's how I got on. God took me the long route the scenic route around, but he answered my prayer. And then I realized, like, wow, God, you actually answered my prayer. Wow. So don't get discouraged. He's answering your prayer. He may take the scenic route to get you there. You may take the scenic route, but enjoy the ride. The prayer that you asked him in your heart is going to come to pass if you were sincere. And I was very sincere. So praise God. Just to let you know, that's the way it works. So there's things that I could tell you about that he began to bring back to my attention. The prayers that I got answered was the ones that I was talking to him sincerely in my heart. All righty. So now, back at 13. So Hannah spoke within her heart. Her lips did not move. So therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. Continuing on. There you go. Sorry. So in verse 15, it says, but Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drank neither wine nor intoxicating drink. But I have poured out, now look what I want you to see there. I have poured out my soul. I have poured out my soul before the Lord. I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman. Look what she says here. For out of the abundance of my what? Complaint and grief I have spoken unto now. I want to read that in Amplified. Do not regard your maidservant as wicked or worthless. A wicked or worthless woman. For I have spoken unto now out of my great concern and bitter provocation. Now, I love Hannah's prayer because I begin to realize that God is okay with you venting at it, with him, venting it and complaining. Now, I know a lot of faith teachers teach, you know, stop complaining. God don't want to hear your complaining. God cares about how you feel. And I've learned to tell God how I feel. I've had times, I thought about this as I was coming over to teach. I remember I was going down my steps at home and I was just really frustrated. I was frustrated, man. And I just stopped at the step. I just told the Lord, Lord, this is frustrating me. I just told him, this is frustrating me. And you know, just got on. It's like, look, you know, and I've realized that God is okay with that. He likes for us to be honest with him. In fact, he had said this to me probably 3 years ago. He liked to be called Father. He told me that. I like to be called. The Holy Spirit told me that. And that the words that was spoken to me is, he likes to be called Father. Okay. So now, you know, so Jesus said, our Father. So I pray, Heavenly Father. You know, I pray, Father. The other thing he said is, I like honest faith. He said, I like honest faith. Now, what are you saying, Lord? And he got me to understand, tell me how you feel. Don't just shut up your feelings. Tell me how you're feeling. God already know how we feel, so he's okay with you telling him how you feel. See, this is about relationship. You know, don't get into this, I'm a man of faith and this. And no, I tell God, I don't like this, Lord. Jesus died and provided this for me. I can't accept this. There's things right now I'm telling you. It's like, there's things I won't accept from you. I won't accept from your hand. You said thus and such, and you need to do it for me. Are you altogether lying to me? So you'll never get your prayers answered until you understand that God can't lie. And you put him on the carpet. I know that's bold. Where you get this type of stuff from? I started listening to the men of old. Men that God used to do great exploits. Over hundreds of years ago, I start reading and I read how they talk. There's a man by the name of Dr. Lester Summerall. I mean, he just talked to God like, no, you gonna do this. Now, how these men talk like that to him? Because they understand that God has to honor his word. And when you're sincere and you're doing what he told you to do, you know, and God even told me, you know, I was going through a situation where I was fellowshipping with the Lord about some things and I was talking to him. I said, in the scriptures, I speak to him within the framework of the word. I'm teaching if you listen. I speak and I talk to the Father within the framework of his word. And I said, Jesus said that whatsoever things I desire when I pray, to believe that I receive it. And I kept saying, Jesus said, and I got the word. God, Jesus said that whatsoever things I desire when I pray, to believe that I receive it. And then all of a sudden I heard this. I mean, he just spoke this voice to me. Well, if I can't talk you out of it, the devil sure can. I said, whoa, what did you just say? Why does he want you to have that stubborn type of faith where you're persistent about him answering his word? Why? Because if God himself can't talk you out of it, the devil sure can. That means the devil's trying to talk you out of getting the answers to your prayers. And at the end of the part three, I'm going to show you. That's what I mean by telling hell no and taking a stubborn stance on the inside. No, I'm going to have what thus said the word. I'm going to have what thus says the word. I'm going to have what thus says the word as thus said the Lord. And I rebuke the devil and I remind God. Yeah, I'm standing on your word. This is your promise. And you cannot lie. Do you understand that? Relationship. And fellowship. That makes sense to you? If you promise something to a child and you don't deliver, you know they're gonna wear you out. They're gonna wear you out till you do it. And if you don't, then that child loses confidence in your word. They'll lose confidence in you. They can't depend on you. Well, you know what I'm saying? So God is the same way. Now, as we begin to grow in faith, we have to start from that level. Mm-hmm. And he's okay with you, expressing how you feel to him. Now, as you get older, he's going to be like, now you know that I'm going to come through for you. So now you can stand like a stone through the midst of these. You know what I'm saying? But when you're growing in faith, and so I'm starting from ground zero, childlike faith. And then you'll grow up and you'll start maturing. Then you get to a place where people go, man, how can you believe that? Very simple. God has come through for me here. God has come through for me there. God has come through for me. He'll come through for me everywhere. Do you understand what I'm saying? But you got to start somewhere. And this is the foundation of relationship, fellowship as a child. No, Father, you promised me this. And I ain't coming off of this thing. You promised me this. And you got to learn to stand before God and tell him. He said to remind him of his word. Take the scriptures and remind. That's what gets answers to your prayers. First of all, are you asking him for his word? This will really explode your prayer life. And we're talking about for your personal desires. It's okay to have personal desires as long as they're within the boundaries of godliness. You want a husband? Pray for a husband. But stop sleeping around. Hello? Get married. Do you want to get married? And start talking to people and telling them, hey, I'm looking for a husband. I'm looking for a wife. I'm not just looking for a boyfriend or a girlfriend. I'm looking for a long-term relationship here. I am looking to get married. Now, if you don't want to get married, I ain't going to waste my time. Right. See what I'm saying? You got to be that specific. And you start writing down, oh, man, I'm getting ahead of myself. Write down, tell God what you want. Date it. Sign it and date it. Put a date there. And every time you go back to it, remind him, Lord, I asked you for this. And I believe that I'm going to receive it because you're not like a man that shall lie. And I'm believing for it to come to pass.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
I'm supposed to talk about that later. But, you know, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All righty. Still talking about the simplicity of prayer. This is very important for us to grasp. Hannah was heartbroken and unable to have a child. But notice this. She did not vent to people. This is so important. I said everything to get to this point tonight. She did not vent to people. She vented to God. She poured out her pain to God within. See, I've learned, when I'm going through something, I tell God how I feel. I tell him how I feel. I tell him when I'm frustrated. Huh? That'll help you out, man. I remember my son David was sharing some things with me. I didn't know he was listening to me. I told him how I pray to God. And he was going through something. He was telling me, yeah, Dad, I prayed that way. You know, I was going through something and I told God, you know, I told him, I said, Lord, you're going to have to do something, you know. And I was glad that he could learn from the way I pray. You know, and that's it. You got to learn how to go to your Heavenly Father and say, hey, Lord, I need your help. You don't have to do something here. I can't do it. And I mean, really look to him to do it. And he'll start doing things for you. Mm-hmm. Amen. So she poured out her pain to God within her. Her lips moved. Oh, yeah, I'll say that, Lord. But her voice was not heard. She wasn't shouting. She wasn't performing. She was releasing everything in her heart directly to the Lord. And God responded to that kind of honest inward prayer. You know, some people might be struggling with some type of sin addiction. Like, you know, I'm sensitive to people that are not married and, you know, they've been in, you know, they struggling in that area of, you know, sex. You got to cry out to God, man, help me. Tell him it's hard and he'll help you. He'll give you scriptures to stand on and meditate on. All righty. Praise God. See, he's our deliverer, but you got to want to be delivered. And a lot of people don't want to be delivered. That's why they don't cry out for help. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. When I was going through my problems in the beginning of my marriage, I had to pray. I prayed to God and I cried out for help. Deliver me. Change me. I need help. All the psychology and psychological junk ain't helping me. I need you to change my heart because I got a problem here. See, he changes those people's hearts that cry out for his help. And some people really don't want him to change them. It's evident because you don't vent and share your true heart in private before the Lord. Cry in private, come out smiling. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. So God cares about how you feel. God cares about how you feel. I got one more slide and we're going to be done. But this came to me. I remember, my wife's here, so I remember there were some things that I was frustrated with my wife. And when she's ready to preach, she can talk about me. But, you know, I love talking about the word. I mean, I love talking about the word. And she would go to sleep on me and carrying on. And just she just seemed not to be very interested. I mean, she's between that and the football, she was not interested. So one day I started telling God, I said, God, I don't know what to do. You know, I just like, man, this is frustrating. You know, you can't force feed somebody to get saved and then to learn the word, right? So one day I was laying in the bed, just thinking about it, talking to the Lord. And the Lord answered my prayer. He says, you ever thought about praying for her? And I was like, it was so funny. I was like, no, you're like, am I supposed to do that? Duh. Have you ever thought about praying for her? There's a reason why he said that. There's a reason why. God cannot do or perform his word unless we ask him for help. He can't help us. This is a legal thing. And I'm going to show you this. How much time have I been here? How long have I been here? I've been here 42 minutes. So I have time to show you this. So I'm going to show you this principle in the word. God operates by spiritual legalities. That's why Jesus said that we have to ask. I'm going to show you the scripture here. Let me just get there. We're going to go to St. John. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to St. John 15. Hopefully you're learning something today. Let's go to verse 9 here. All righty. So, praise the Lord. So it's important to understand that that there's certain things that God cannot do for you until you ask him to do it. This is where I left my Bible. I mean, I find everything real quick when it's in my Bible. You know, when you read your Bible all the time, you know exactly where something's at. And I know it is in, so the vine give you all things that command. Praise the Lord. I want to find, I want to look it up on thing real quick. I hate when I do this, but this is very important for you to see this because I want you to understand that I have chosen you. You have not chosen me. Yeah, there it is. It's John 15:16. I was close. There. Yeah, I got it highlighted. I knew it was there. All right. Look at this here. Put that on the screen so you can see it. Alrighty, so look what he says in 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. Look what he says, that you shall go and bear fruit. See that right there? And look what it says here. He says, I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you ask the Father, look at what that says, that he in my name that he may give you. He may. Permission. In other words, he doesn't have permission to give it to you if you do not ask in his name. Because everything is exchanged through faith in what Jesus has done for us. So we must ask, and we must ask in his name, or the Father may not give it to us. He can't. Because all the blessings are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. So we have to learn to ask God for what we need in Jesus' name. So as born again believers, we must ask. If you don't ask, God don't help you. I have adult children. I don't help them if they don't ask me. I have no legal right. They are adults. You understand what I'm saying? So in the church, you have new converts. They can't pray for themselves. They don't know what to pray. So you can pray for them and you can help them because you are a spiritual adult and you understand the principles of prayer. You understand who you are in Christ Jesus. They're just now learning. So we can pray for them. But at some point they grow up and God expects them to learn to pray for themselves. And so this is for adults. We're talking to people that are mature. You got to start now learning to pray to God and ask him for his word. It doesn't matter what it is. You go find the scriptures and get promises and you say, okay, Lord, your word says thus and such on this situation. I ask you for this. I'm asking you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ based on this word. All right. Your word says whatsoever things I desire when I pray to believe that I receive them. Your word also says that you supply all my needs by Christ Jesus. Your word also says, see, you just go to what the word says. You know, pray to him. Say, Lord, now I'm asking you. I need transportation or I need a car. Your word says that you've given me all things that pertain to life and godliness. This is my scripture. You know, when you fellowshipping on that thing, that scripture will get in your spirit. And you pray to him and you ask him specifically a prayer petition for what you want based on scripture promises. You know, I need transportation. Well, you said that you know the things that I need of before I pray, before I ask. And Jesus said, ask. And you will receive. So you take it down. You write it down. I just need transportation. I need a reliable transportation for this, that, and the other. You write it down. And you date it. You've dated it. Every time you go back to that in your time of fellowship with the Lord. Oh, yeah, by the way, Lord, I thank you that you've given me the answer to my prayer on this date and time. And I praise you. And then you now take that prayer of petition and it now becomes what you worship and praise God for and thank him. It also becomes your place where you stand against the forces of darkness that tries to talk you out of it. No, God gave it to me on this day. God gave it to me on this day. And I thank you and I believe you and I receive it. It is so. And so now you're getting to what's called a faith fight. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. I'm just throwing out some nuggets now. So, and as we go through this teaching, you'll see how to actually apply it in your life. Okay, so enough of that. The point I wanted to make is you have to ask. God will not intervene in your life. Why, Brother Larry? Why, Pastor Larry? Because you have a will. And he can't force himself on you. He can't violate your will. So your asking gives him permission to bless you. I can't just go do things for someone that didn't ask me to do it. All right. And God doesn't just violate your will. All right. We're going to close on this. Prayer is heartfelt, sincere, and personal. It is you opening up your heart to the Father who already knows you, loves you, and welcomes you. He knows what you need. He knows what you desire. You just got to ask. I don't know, but this is just burning in my heart. People want to get married. I know people that want to get married. Write it down. Ask the Father to connect you with your mate. You wouldn't have the desire if he didn't have someone that he's already ordained for you to be married to. But you got to ask. Please, I want to say this. This is so very important. And I hope you don't get offended. I'm glad it's at the end. A lot of times, you know, we can be in different relationships with other people. And a lot of people kind of test things out. And then they find themselves in a situation where they're not satisfied with the sexual partner that they have. and they'll just, you know, well, they don't satisfy me. Let me explain something to you. God knows everything about you. When you ask him for your mate, your spouse, they're going to fit the bill of all of your desires and needs. And hopefully you understand what I'm saying. So you don't have to keep trying it out and testing it out. Pray it out, trust it out, and I'm telling you, everything will be just the way you need it to be in every area. And your play, you know what I'm getting at. Because that's what people do now. All right, let's finish up on this here where it says in Psalm 62:8, it says, trust in him at all times, you people. Look what it says here. Pour out your heart before him. I want you to see that. I got that highlighted. That's what he wants you to do. This, God is our refuge, but Selah, think about that. Pour your heart out to him. Be real with God. Tell him how you feel in the secret place. God is a good, gentle, and is good, gentle, and always has your best interests at heart. When you understand his heart towards you, you pray without fear, without shame, without hesitation, because you know he is for you and not against you. That's important. And again, when God starts showing you his plan for your life, sometimes the enemy will try to make it look like, well, like you're being denied, or it may not look like it's God's plan. You got to trust. That's where you trust. And a lot of times the blessing is right before your face, but you overlook it. God knows what's right for you and what's best for you. And you just got to start trusting it. And once you start walking the path that he's ordained for you, he'll start answering your prayer. And then you'll start bumping into that thing and you go, whoa. And things just start working out when you start, you know, when you stop stressing out. Pray and stop stressing out and things will start working. Well, Father God, I thank you for allowing me this latest foundation of prayer, of just sharing our hearts. Let the people understand that they're okay. I ask that the people come to understand that they're okay sharing their heart with you, being open and vulnerable to you. They can pour their heart out to you. Show them that, Lord. And give them answers to their prayers, Father God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.